Hi, and welcome to the Magazine Rack. I'm Chris. I'm Bob Massa, and today I'll be reading from Consumer Reports. And the first article that we're going to read is saying, in a kind of an appropriate one, stay cool, even in extreme heat. And it was written by Janet Serrato. Sweltering temperatures have become a worrisome part of summer's new normal. Here's what you need to know to stay comfortable and safe this season, wherever you are. We're going to start with broiling, scorching, and roasting. We're running out of ways to describe our summer weather. Last year was one of the, for the record books. Phoenix endured 31 days in a row above 110 Fahrenheit. Miami's heat index was over 100% for 46 days straight. And even in Twin Cities of Minnesota had 33 days of 90%, more than twice as many as average. Elsewhere on the globe, Sardinia, Italy hit the almost 119 Fahrenheit, while Japan recorded its hottest year in over 130 years. Extremely hot weather isn't just unpleasant, it's a serious health risk. More than 1,200 people die from extreme heat every year in the United States, according to the Centers for Disease and Control and Prevention. Last summer, we constantly saw heat and air quality-related issues, especially for those taking different medications for conditions like high blood pressure and diabetes, says Rachel Marquez, MD, family medicine physician with Kaiser Permanente in Virginia. Heat-related issues from the dizziness, nausea, and cramping of heat exhaustion to the slurred speech and weakness of heat stroke can happen more easily at lower body temperatures for those individuals. Heat doesn't need to be reaching record levels to be dangerous. High humidity can increase the effects of heat even if at lower temperatures, as can wildfire smoke and other air quality issues. Your age, adults 65 and older, children up to 4 years, are at greater risk. Weight and taking certain medications also. The heat can trigger flare-ups in chronic conditions, including asthma, hypertension, migraines, rosacea, kidney disease, type 2 diabetes, and cardiovascular disease. Very hot weather may be here to stay, but a few simple moves can protect you from its worst effects. You can prepare little by little, and it doesn't have to cost a lot, says Brenda Muhammad, Executive Director of Focusing Our Resources for Community Enlightenment, a nonprofit in Syracuse, New York. We're going to look at the best ways to cope wherever we are. So, when you're home, if you have air conditioning, like almost 90% of U.S. households, according to the U.S. Energy Information Administration's 2020 Residential Energy Consumption Survey, you still may have struggled to stay cool on the hottest days. What's more, increased electricity use can lead to brownouts and outages, and here's how to prep for and handle a heat wave. Plan ahead. Give your AC some TLC. Have your central air unit serviced annually and swap out filters every 1 to 2 months during the cooling season. If they're clogged, you're not getting optimal cooling power. Add insulation and seal up leaks if possible. Check your windows for gaps that can let hot air in and precious pricey chilled air out. The Department of Energy recommends caulk for non-moving elements such as a fixed panel and weather stripping for windows. For larger spaces around a window, use a foam sealant. Install window treatments. Cellular shades can lower unwanted solar heat by up to 60%. Window reflectors reflect heat back outside, and awnings will shade windows in outdoor areas. Invest in an air purifier. High heat can diminish indoor air quality, increasing participant pollution. An air purifier can significantly reduce such compounds. Also know that a KF94 or KN95 mask may not be your best friend when air quality is poor. Says Marquez, one way we regulate body temperature is by exhaling, meaning a heavy-duty mask may interfere with that heat-shedding mechanism. Wear a surgical mask instead. Consider backup power. A generator can keep your AC and appliances running when the power is out. You also may want a battery or solar-powered radio and charger. And find cooling centers. Many communities have set places where you can go to cool down. To find one, call your local Office of Emergency Management or enter your zip code at 211.org or plan to head to a library, mall, or a cafe. Well, let's take a look at, in case your power goes out and you don't have a generator, you're going to have to have a power outage supply kit. Be ready for heat wave triggered blackouts. One, you're going to have a backup power source. A generator is a must for electric and medical equipment. Chargers, batteries, and flashlight. A solar charger can help devices running. The Jackery Solar Saga 100-watt solar power bank sells for $299, stood out in our preliminary tests. Make sure you have a few working flashlights and plenty of batteries, and don't forget batteries for hearing aids if you wear them. Oral thermometer, use it to check whether you or a loved one is overly hot, anything which is above 103 Fahrenheit for adults. Ice chest, fill it with ice or cold packs to store food or medication. Documents and cash, keep copies of key documents in a fireproof folder. Safe, stash some cash in case ATMs don't work. And finally, water and food. Stock non-perishable food, tuna and other canned items, crackers, peanut butter, granola bars, etc. Plan at least a gallon of water per person per day to last at 3 days and up to 2 weeks. Continuing as we were before, during a heat wave, keep your house as cool as you can. Have the AC running continuously if you have it. Close curtains or put up reflective panels to reduce unwanted indoor heat again. Even light-colored clothes hanging inside a window or cardboard covered with foil can deflect a warming rays. Use your oven, cooktop, and dryer less. They can heat up your home and you even more. Take cool baths or showers. Running a damp cloth over your skin or misting yourself with cool water leads to evaporative cooling, but don't apply ice packs for long periods. Doing that can trigger shivering, which is how your body warms itself up. And during a brownout, unplug. Minimize electrical usage by unplugging unnecessary or non-essential items, computers not in use, TVs, and use as little AC as you can. And make these moves during a power outage. Stay on the lowest level of your home because heat rises. Keep the shades or curtains closed during the day to block the sun's warming rays. Position battery-operated fans near cooler, shaded sides of your home. Keep your fridge and freezer shut as much as possible. The refrigerator will keep food cold for only about 4 hours. A full freezer will maintain its temperature for about 48 hours. If you need to refrigerate medications, keep a small cooler nearby ready to be filled with ice or cold packs and a thermometer to monitor the temperature. Keep it between 36 Fahrenheit and 40 Fahrenheit. If you have an electric-powered medical devices, discuss backup power sources with your equipment, supplier, power company, or police and or fire department. So the best gear for beating the heat. These top picks from CR's test can help you and your home keep your home more comfortable when the temperature and humidity soar, and even when the power goes out. While we have window air conditioners, for the most effective cooling, choose a unit with the right capacity for your space by measuring, but also consider factors such as ceiling height and how shady or sunny the room is. And they have recommendations here, which include LG for 5,000 to 6,500 BTU, had a 90 overall score, $380. The larger one, 7,000 to 8,500 BTUs, a Frigidaire Gallery, 89 overall score, 530 costs. And finally, a 9,800 to 12,500 BTU Miata, or Medea, I'm sorry, U-shaped, $500, and had an overall score of 89. Next are portable air conditioners. If you can't use window units or your building doesn't allow them, a freestanding air conditioner might be your best option. They need to be, they tend to be noisier than window models. Even the best may disturb a light sleeper. And 9,000 to 15,000 BTUs, Medea at $575 had a 74 overall rating. And 9,000 to 15,500 again, a Wintner, Whyntner. 72 overall scores, cost of $670. And finally, in the same BTU range, a Frigidaire, overall score of 71 and a $580 cost. Next, we move to portable generators. Less expensive than permanent standby generators, these models still have enough power to run a house full of appliances. They run on gasoline and must be kept outside, particularly 20 feet from your house, and can be loud. To pick the right wattage for your needs, go to cr.org/generatorsize. Their first recommendation here is 7,000 to 800 watts, a Generac, cost you about $1,200, overall score of 75. In the $5,000 to $6,900 range, we have a Briggs & Stratton, and that comes in at $850 and 72 overall score. And finally, if you just want a small one, a 2,500 to 4,900 watts, 80 overall score, and it's a WEN, which called WEN, cost you $450. They also show inverter generators, and these models run quietly and efficiently and produce fewer emissions than other types of portable generators. They also typically cost more. Like portable models, inverter generators require gasoline as fuel and, again, must be kept outside. So for a 5,000-plus range, you go with a Pulsar, $1,200, and it had an overall score of 75. In the 2,500 to 5,000 watt range, we have Champion, 85 overall score, and a cost of 650. And they also show a DeWalt here at 1,500 to 2,500 watts, 75 overall score, and a price tag of $700. Then we come up with dehumidifiers. Although a dehumidifier will not cool your room by removing moisture from the air, it can make the space feel more comfortable and a little cooler. Choose the right size for your space. And the large capacity one that they show here is Honeywell, $300 and 83 overall score. A medium capacity Medea at $245 had a 92 overall score. And again, a small capacity Medea at 87 overall score had a price tag of $200. And finally, in the gear category, we have freezers. One way CR's engineers test freezers is by checking their ability to stay cold after the power goes out. The two chest models listed here earn top power outage scores. Uprights often show a faster temperature rise after power loss, but this one did well in our tests. So they show here a mid-size chest freezer, Insignia, and it's $400, and it was 87 overall score. A small chest freezer, an Arctic King, 80 overall score, and a cost of $190. And if you want to use a large upright freezer, we got a GE at $950 and an overall score of 84. Now, if you're walking outside, it's risky to be outside in high heat, and the situation gets even worse when it's humid. We cool ourselves by the evaporative powers of sweating, which can't happen efficiently when the air is full of moisture. According to the National Weather Service, a temperature of 90 plus Fahrenheit at 75% humidity will feel like a 109 Fahrenheit on the heat index. An estimate of how hot it feels when air temperatures and relative humidity are combined. Plan ahead, know when to stay home. Pay attention to the heat index and the air quality index during a heat wave. Avoid unnecessary activity, especially if you have factors, age, medical conditions, that could make you susceptible to heat stroke, says Marquis. If you do have to run errands, try to avoid being outdoors between 10 and 5 p.m. Consider your wardrobe. Lightweight, light-colored clothes and natural materials are best. Wear a wide brim hat to shade your face and UV-blocking sunglasses. And then stock up on sunscreen. Screened, and they have a... Well, that's what they're saying. During a heat wave, plenty of water. If you want to drink about a cup every 90 minutes, remember that thirst isn't the best indicator of when to drink. When you get thirsty, you're already dehydrated. Also, if you aren't urinating or at least every 4 hours, or you are feeling fatigue, thirst, or dizziness, drink more. If you are sweating, and electrolyte-based drinks like sports drinks to replenish lost salt, says Marquis. Skip caffeine and alcohol, which are diuretics that draw moisture from the body. Be careful on hot pavement. It can be hotter than the surrounding air, and a fall can lead to burns. Hot pavement may harm dogs' paws, so stay on grass or use protective booties. Adapt your plans. If it's much hotter out than you realize, head for shade or AC. In a pinch, duck into a restroom and cool yourself with a damp paper towel on the back of your neck or on your forehead. And if you feel sick, take action. Get a cool place, loosen your clothes, and remove layers. Take a cool bath or shower, or put cool, damp clothes on your body. Drink water or sports drinks. Get medical help if you experience confusion, dizziness, weakness, agitation, slurred speech, nausea, or vomiting. So they suggest an around-the-town supply kit. Take these with you if you have to be outside on a hot day, and pack a few just-in-case items in your car for AC issues and other breakdowns. Cloth or bandana with a personal fan. Wet the cloth to cool yourself down, or use it to shield your steering wheel from the sun when you're out. A fan can help if the AC isn't working. Sunscreen and hat. Keep extras in the car. You may have to walk to get help. Phone and charger. Charge your phone before you head out in case you need to call for a ride or help. Or take a portable charger. And they mentioned one here called the Big Blue Portable 28 Solar Charger, $69, which they say perform well in their tests. Hydration, tote along water, and an electrolyte powder or tablet you can mix in. Snacks. It's smart to have a few non-perishable, non-melty snacks in your car if you're stuck for a while. And flashlight. This is essential when driving at night. So in your car, when the AC is pumped to the max, your car can feel like a chilly oasis. But if something goes wrong, the interior temperature can climb to a dangerous level very quickly. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, temperature can rise about 20 degrees in the first 10 minutes, even with a window cracked. So plan ahead. Check your car's condition. Assess coolant levels. You can look under the hood. Some autos have translucent reservoirs. Or let your local shop check, replacing the cabin filters, which can get packed with dirt and pollen. Once or twice a year helps minimize air flow, says Michael Crossan, a Consumer Reports automotive technician. Also check your tire pressure and condition. And debunk the grill. Remove leaves and debris, which could lead to your car overheating. Service your battery. Have the battery's charge, terminals, and mounting checked out at a dealer or repair shop and see whether it's time for a replacement. You should also get your EV or hybrid battery evaluated before a long trip. Shade your windows. Use a reflective panel in your windshield when you park and add a shade to a panoramic sunroof, or also available at Amazon and other parts shops. Ask your dealership or detail about ceramic window tinting, a multi-layered film infused with microscopic ceramic particles. It can block a high percentage of UV light to keep the interior cooler. During a heat wave, get the most from the AC. Don't waste time and gas trying to pre-cool the car. Start driving and get the compressor working efficiently. Open all windows for 10 to 20 seconds to flush out the superheated air inside. Set the system to the lowest temperature, then adjust the fan setting for comfort. Use a seat cooling function if your car has it. It's a feature to look for if your car shopping in a high heat area. If your AC breaks, open windows on opposite sides of the front and back seats. This creates a cross ventilation, but may not provide enough relief for a lengthy drive. And if your car breaks down or you have an accident, leave the vehicle. The temperature will rise quickly and another car could hit you. Seek shade while waiting for help. Last time, we did not finish an article that was about tipping, and we're going to continue with that today and finish it. So we had finished by last week about dining out etiquette and so forth and so on. So this one will cover food deliveries. You can't tell if the delivery fee is the same as a tip. Scenario, you're shopping online for groceries or takeout and see a delivery fee at checkout. You wonder if it includes a tip. The move, and they talk about the scenario and the move, delivery and service fees usually aren't treated as tips for the driver. Always check the website or app, says Gottsman, who adds that a tip of 15 to 20% of the total bill, or a minimum of $5, if it's a small order, is usually appropriate. Then you come up with, you prepaid the tip. The scenario, you already added a tip during the checkout process on a delivery app. When your food arrives, does this mean that no extra cash handoff is needed at the door? And again, the move. If you're tipped through the app, you're all set. These amounts go directly to your delivery person, so no need to fumble for cash at the door. If you tip through the app but still want to make sure the gratuity truly gets to the driver, check the app's FAQ or ask when the delivery person arrives. Most delivery apps are transparent about their policies. Now we'll look at in-home services. The deciding whether to give a gratuity for a home service from a sofa delivery to a stove fix can be a head-scratching experience. When you should grease the palm and when will a simple thanks do. So the scenario, they're setting up a new sofa. After paying a hefty delivery fee for your new sofa, you wonder if tipping the delivery team is expected or necessary. The move, even with substantial delivery fees, acknowledging the physical effort of a delivery team with a small tip of $5 to $10 per person, is a kind gesture. The more stairs, the higher the tip, suggests Jody R.R. Smith on Etiquette and Etiquette Consultant. Your building handyman unclogs your drain. When someone on the maintenance staff of your building or homeowners association comes to fix a toilet or tighten a hinge, should you hand over a little extra? The move. In general, you should be tipping maintenance employees you regularly deal with at the end of the year. But when the service goes above and beyond, a tip on the spot can express your gratitude more personally, especially if it's in the middle of the night or on a major holiday, Smith says. And then we got a pricey repair. A technician charges $400 for an essential repair. Given the high cost, do you still need a tip? And again, the move, generally skilled technicians and tradespeople like plumbers are not tipped. But it's situational, Smith says. If the person went above and beyond, was professional, and solved a significant problem, a tip of $10 to $20 might be a way to say thank you, though it's not obligatory, given the high initial cost, she says. And then when you look at self-care, at a salon or a medi-spa, the only thing more complex than choosing the right kind of facial is figuring out the tipping a protocol. Who knew relaxation could be stressful? You're getting your hair cut by the owner. After a satisfying haircut at a salon, you wonder whether it's a tip to stylist who happens to be the owner. Etiquette has evolved here, Smith says. She advises tipping your stylist every time you visit, even if it's the owner. 15 to 20% is still the standard, according to Gottsman. And your derm performs a skin check. You're at a dermatologist's office that offers cosmetic treatments, but you're there to get a spot in your skin evaluated. When you're leaving, a tipping option appears on the payment screen, leaving you uncertain. It's generally accepted that you don't tip a dermatologist, just as you wouldn't tip any other doctor or an attorney. So how about hired cars? Ride-hailing services like Uber and Lyft have brought new trippy tipping twists to figure out. You don't know whether to tip the Uber driver. Scenario, at the end of a trip, an app prompts you for a tip. But you remember a time when tipping wasn't an option and you're unsure about the current expectations. The move. You're right. Uber, for instance, didn't allow tipping up till 2017. But today, tipping 15% as a baseline with room to increase for an exceptional service is appropriate. It's crucial to remember that the rideshare drivers often don't have the benefits that come with a traditional employment, so says Smith. You're taking a taxi, not an Uber. You just arrived at your destination via a taxi you hailed on the street. But have new practices influenced tipping norms for cabs? The standard for tipping cab drivers remains at about 15%, Smith advises. If the tip screen you see starts with higher options, feel free to enter a custom amount. But consider more if it's a very short trip or it's raining or if they're taking you for a long way to a place where they're unlikely to pick up another fare. And at hotels and travel, what's the right way to tip someone who works behind the scenes, and what if you forgot cash at the valet stand? You're traveling with a messy family. It's the scenario. You're getting ready to check out of your hotel and think about the housekeeping staff cleaning up after you and your two kids. Should you leave a bigger tip for the extra mess? The move? Yeah. Start with $3 to $5 per day. And with each extra guest, add a dollar per person to cover the additional effort. Whitmore says, tip daily instead of at the end, since housekeeping staffs may change. You're paying for room service. You're signing for your room service meal and noticing the menu mentioned that gratuity was included, yet there's still a line for an extra tip. Now you're puzzled. Always start by reviewing your bill to confirm that the gratuity was included, as the menu indicated. It would be, Grossman says. If not, a tip of 15 to 20% of the bill is appropriate, and you don't need to tip again for tray pickup. You're not sure what to tip the luggage attendant. If they help with your suitcases and you have a couple, you're wondering how much to tip for the brief yet useful service. Typically, a tip is $1 to $2 per bag, but if you have just one or two, a $5 tip might be more appropriate. A rule that Gottman follows is if they touch it, meaning bags, extra pillows, etc., take that as a sign that it's a good time to tip. You're out of cash. You're at the valet stand ready to drive off when you realize your wallet's empty of the standard $2 to $5. Do you ask the person who just retrieved your car if they would accept Venmo? Or another type of mobile payment place, or cash a tip? Sure, Digital Era has made this question more acceptable. I would strongly encourage it, Smith says. That's it for this installment of the Magazine Rack, and I've been reading from the July edition of Consumer Reports. I'm Bob Massa, and so long until the next time.